The epistle for today, the Feast of Pentecost Sunday, is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. When the days of Pentecost were drawing to a close, the disciples were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a violent wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as of fire, which settled upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in foreign tongues, even as the Holy Spirit prompted them to speak. Now there were staying at Jerusalem devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude gathered and were bewildered in mind, because each heard them speaking in his own language. But they were all amazed and marveled, saying, "Behold, are not all these that are speaking Galileans? And how have we heard, each in his own language in which he was born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Jews also, and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We have heard them speaking in our own language of the wonderful works of God." The Gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while yet dwelling with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your mind whatever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I go away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would indeed rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, but for the prince of this world is coming, and in me he has nothing. But he comes that the world may know that I love the Father, and that I do as the Father has commanded me." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. We'll begin with the Hail Mary. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The story of God and the creation of man began like this. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth was void and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters. What a frail beginning, emptiness and darkness, but with a glimmer of hope, the Spirit hovered over it all. Now, the Hebrew word for Spirit here is Ruah, and we'll get back to that word a bit later. Well, this Spirit, this breath of God, moved over the water since he was about to form a new creation, the earth and every living thing in it, just as he breathed into Adam when he breathed life into him. Well, in the book of Exodus, we read about another beginning. As the Israelites began their journey out from Egypt with little hope, Pharaoh's army on one side and a great impassable sea on the other, the Lord took the sea away by a strong wind blowing all the night. Interesting that the Hebrew word for wind here is ruah, that same word for spirit used in Genesis 1. Again, as at the creation of the world, at the Red Sea, a frail, hopeless beginning was saved by the Spirit, the Ruah, the wind which moved over the waters. God again was forming a new creation. The ancient Israel nation, which was delivered from slavery, and which, like a new creation, God called his firstborn son. In the Gospel of St. John, we read about another beginning. Remember that on the first day of the week, Jesus came And he breathed on his apostles. He said to them, "Receive the Holy Ghost. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you hold bound, they are held bound." Just as when God breathed on Adam, giving him life, God was again about to form a new creation, his spiritual new creation, that would receive its life of sanctifying grace through the sacraments. Today in the Acts of the Apostles, we read about a most important creation again. A creation also with such a feeble and nearly hopeless beginning, where the apostles were hiding for fear of the Jews, for fear of the world. When the days of Pentecost were fulfilled, the Spirit, a great rushing wind, the Ruah, filled the whole house. God again is forming a new creation. He filled that whole house with his Spirit, just as he fills the whole house of the church with his Spirit and all those that are connected to the church, that are attached to the church. This new creation is his bride, the church. And Pentecost Sunday is the birthday of that very same church. It's the day in which the church came forth into the world to bear witness that God had made a new creation in the world once again, but a spiritual creation, this time a greater one, a new and everlasting one that has its very life, its very soul. It has as its life the Holy Ghost. That's the soul of the church. Now, according to St. Thomas, the doctor of the church, throughout our Lord's time on earth, the Holy Ghost appears in different forms in order to signify different realities about God that he's trying to convey to us. When the upper room, on the day of our Lord's resurrection, when our Lord breathed on the apostles, the Holy Ghost came in the form of the breath of our Lord when he said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." And he did this to take on by taking on the very form of our Lord's breath. He's symbolizing here the very spiritual life which is conferred on us by the sacraments. In breath is our life, huh? In air is where we get our life. That is conferring upon us the reality that in sanctifying grace, the life of Christ in us, or in other words, the very indwelling of the Holy Ghost in the soul, is going to be our life. So why does the Holy Ghost appear with a blowing wind, as we read about in the epistle today? Father Cornelius de Lapide, the great spiritual commentator on the Gospels, showed that it was appropriate for the Holy Ghost to appear preceded by a wind, since the wind is what puts ships into motion. Okay, sailing ships. Just think about that, how they have all the sails, and what they need is the wind to put them into motion. St. John Chrysostom used this analogy also. He compares the human soul to a sailing ship. Okay, and just as even though a sail ship might be equipped with the very best equipment, may have all the greatest attributes on a natural level, unless it has the wind moving it, it's going nowhere. We need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the wind which moves our souls. In fact, without the movement of the wind, the very equipment that's on the ship, instead of helping it, becomes kind of dead weight. In the same way, whatever gifts we might have, instead of helping us, if the Holy Ghost does not move us according to the will of God, are just going to be in the way. Well, at confirmation, we receive the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. They're like seven sails of the ship which we're equipped. Now think about these seven gifts, all right? Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, piety, fortitude, fear of the Lord. We need these seven gifts. And what exactly are they? Wisdom. Wisdom is that gift of the Holy Ghost by which we contemplate eternal things and the things of God, and which we can judge things in light of this eternal view. So wisdom considers eternal things. Knowledge is the gift of the Holy Ghost by which we know temporal things, which we consider and understand temporal things insofar as they're helpful to our salvation. Insofar as they're helpful to our salvation, the best way to use them for our salvation. It's knowledge that lets us let go of those things that we're attached to so that we can cling to God. If we see this is not helping our salvation, It's the virtue of knowledge. I'm sorry, the gift of knowledge, which helps us to let the things go so we can cleave to God. Understanding is that gift of the Holy Ghost by which the hidden things of God are made known to us. The hidden things. Now, what do we mean? The hidden things we're talking about are the scriptures, the ceremonies here by which we get to know God. We can penetrate these mysteries. We can see these mysteries by the gift of understanding. It allows us to penetrate the reality. You ever wonder why those people that study, some people study scripture and they're atheists? And they just don't penetrate the reality. You know? They may be able to tell how it works literarily, alright? But they don't penetrate the reality. It's this gift which they're lacking, the gift of understanding. Counsel is that gift of the Holy Ghost. It's nearly the same as the virtue of prudence, but it moves our souls by the action of the Holy Ghost. And by counsel, we direct our actions in an honest and a Christian manner. Fortitude, it's that gift of the Holy Ghost by which we're able to sustain the difficult challenges to the faith and able to sustain even martyrdom if we need to. It's a movement, however, of the Holy Ghost by which our soul does this, okay? Keep in mind that these are different from the virtues, all right? Here's a good example. Fortitude, there's also a virtue of fortitude, but then there's the gift of fortitude. What's the difference? Well, the difference is the virtues act in a human mode. We exercise the virtues. It's like rowing the sailboat, huh? We have to put the work in. Now, it's a bit harder, and we actually go a little slower than if we had the power of the wind. Well, in the same way, we exercise our virtues. That's our work granted by God, okay, with the power of God. But see, the gifts act in a different way. The gifts are the Holy Ghost moving the soul. That is, the Holy Ghost uses the gifts to move the soul directly. We'll get to why we don't seem to respond sometimes. All right, piety. Piety is that gift of the Holy Ghost by which we exercise Christian justice. The main part of this virtue is religion. Okay, so piety is mainly rendering the worship to God. We're moved to make acts of worship to God. Not just here on Sunday, but it should be every day. It should be throughout the day. And then fear of the Lord. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost by which we have a reverence and a filial fear of disappointing God. We want to have that fear of disappointing God. That's what the fear of the Lord is, that gift we refer to. So, we've got wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, piety, fortitude, fear of the Lord. Why do we often not act with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, piety, fortitude, fear of the Lord? Why don't we act in these ways? If we're given all these seven gifts, why don't we correspond to them? Well, the great Thomist, Father Garrigou Lagrange, gives the answer. He says, quote, "The inspiration of the Holy Ghost, to which the gifts should render us docile, resembles the breeze that comes up at the right moment. It's almost imperceptible at first, and if it is not resisted, it generally becomes stronger and more urgent." Innumerable passages from Scripture, from the Fathers, from St. Thomas, and St. John of the Cross could be quoted on this point. The inspiration becomes more manifest, luminous, and compelling if one is faithful. Close quote. So it's like a gentle breeze that comes up. And if our sails are not set, we're going to miss it. So we have to be ready. So think about that. It's like the sails that are folded up on the yardarms. They're not going to catch any of the wind if they're all folded up. So we have to do the work to unfold them. So what is that work? We're given all those gifts. What's the work of unfolding those sails? We'll go back to Father Garrigou Lagrange for the answer. How do we unfold those gifts? Quote, "According to spiritual writers, we must establish ourselves in silence, that we may be attentive to this inspiration, hear it, and then distinguish between it and one that might lead us astray." Close quote. So by establishing ourselves in silence, they mean not just verbally, that is included, to be sure, but also mentally, okay? Not going off on all these imaginations, controlling the mind. That's the custody of the mind that we talk about. Controlling our thoughts, not letting them just wander all over the place. Try and focusing them on the duties we have at hand, or upon God if we're not doing our duties. That's what we're talking about. But also stilling the passions, silencing, you might say, the passions. If we're ruled by our passions, that's constantly what we're going to be dwelling on, where our passions are leading us to next, instead of where God is leading us to next. Where the Holy Ghost, by the gentle breath of His action on the gifts that we've received, where those are leading us to next. So we have to still the passions, we have to still ourselves vocally, and we have to just still ourselves mentally with our imaginations and whatnot, so that we can actually perceive the gentle breath of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so the ways to still those passions, not giving in to them. The passions are like muscles, huh? If we keep exercising them, they get stronger, right? Instead of getting more in control, we start losing control. So we need to still the passions by not giving in to all the movements of the passion, okay? One thing, you know, I'll mention, I know the kids aren't going to like this, but, you know, think about this, dessert every night. That was kind of a foreign thing. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, it was like Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know, and if guests were coming over, it's like, wow, we got dessert, you know. But, you know, that's the thing. We don't just give in to all of our passions, okay? We're not habituated in that, okay? Because it builds up a habit, and we have to break those bad habits, especially these little kids, before giving in to the pleasurable things as a kid by desserts and whatever all the time. I mean, there's nothing sinful about dessert, okay? Don't get me wrong, but, you know, just keep this in mind. We need to practice temperance so that when we get older and the issues of temperance are a little more serious, huh, then the habits won't be there of giving in to those vices. So we have to set the sails of our souls to catch the breath of the Holy Ghost by ceasing to sin, practicing self-control of our desires, our passions, and taking the time every day to be silent, okay? Silent, especially in prayer with God. So, since the Spirit first hovered over the waters in Genesis 1, God's been preparing His lesson to us about how He wants to give us the Holy Ghost to move our very souls. What gratitude should be ours for God's careful, diligent preparation of so precious a gift given to our souls. After confirmation, what diligence we should have in learning more about the faith and how to exercise these incredible gifts that we've been giving have been given to us in our soul. How ready we should keep ourselves to receive the movement, the breath of the Holy Ghost, if we want to hear His voice. If we want our souls to be powerfully moved by Him, how careful we should be to calm the distracting noise of our passions by mortifying them, not giving in to them, letting them sort of sit still. How detached we should be from creatures so that we can be free to attach ourselves to God Almighty. How we daily need time in silent prayer with God. God is alive. He's alive and He wants to dwell in each one of us. Today we should let that reality truly penetrate our minds. God is alive. He dwells here among us each and every day. He's alive and He wants to increase His life in us. He wants to increase His life in us. He wants to be a part of our lives. We have to open our lives up more to Him. We do that by opening the sails of our soul up more to Him. God wants to live in you. Don't hold Him back. Let Him in. Don't hold Him back so that He can move you to be a witness to Him throughout the whole world. May God bless you. May Our Lady of the Rosary pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.